You are listening to teaching from Castle Hills Christian Church in San Antonio, Texas. More information about Castle Hills Christian Church is available at chccsa.com.
Good morning, CHCC. Well, today is a special day. Today, we're going to have Vacation Bible School start later tonight. And so if you know of anyone that would be interested in Vacation Bible School, elementary, and below, let us know. We would love to see them come out. If you could be praying for us over the next few days as we're planting seeds and watering seeds in our children's lives, we need all of the prayer that we can get. And as we're trying to make a difference in our community, ministering to these families. And the other reason why it's a big deal is we get to worship with our Ethiopian and Eritrean brothers and sisters. About a year ago or so, Richard let me know that someone had stopped by the church and they were looking for a place to worship. The church was worshiping in the Stone Oak area and they were looking for something a little bit more centrally located. And so as we began to pray and have discussions, we began to realize they needed a campus where they could worship and grow. And we had a campus and we were excited because one of the things that's important to us is we love for our campus to be worshiped with multiple different languages. And of course, we already have a Spanish service and we began to see what the possibilities would look like for them to worship here. And so they normally worship between that 1 to 4 time frame in our multi-purpose building. And so we're excited that they are worshiping with us this morning. As we look at what I call a kingdom partnership, I believe that kingdom partnerships reflect God's heart by uniting diverse people around one king, one mission, and one hope. The kingdom has always been multilingual and diverse. If you look in Genesis, the book of the Bible that we've been studying this year, God tells Abram, all nations will be blessed. And starting in Genesis 12, starting at verse 2, it says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you, or all the people groups. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I think about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think about Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. The Spirit does not erase languages, He redeems them. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. Revelation chapter 7, heaven is filled with every nation, tribe, people, and language. In verse 9, it says, after I saw this, a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne, from our Lamb. And God doesn't require uniformity to create unity. He creates unity through diversity. One of our values as a church is diversity. We believe that CHCC should reflect our city. When we talk about diversity, we're not talking about cultural trends. We're talking about something that God has baked into the kingdom from the very beginning. And God could have made one people, one culture, one language, but He didn't. And His glory is too big to be reflected by only one story. Galatians 3, starting at verse 26, it says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, diversity teaches us things that we could never learn alone. When we worship only with people like us, our faith can become narrow without realizing it. But when we began to worship and study the Bible and minister with others who have had different experiences, different backgrounds or cultures, there's a chance for us to learn from them. Maybe see a Bible passage differently. Maybe see people differently. And many of you know that in January, I got an opportunity to go to Ghana and to visit one of our missionaries there, training tomorrow's leaders, and got to see the work that was being done and went to church there in Tamale. And one of the things that they do in their worship is that they dance in the middle of it. They have all of the men get up and they start dancing, and then all of the women get up and they start dancing. Then all of the children get up and they start dancing. And I'll be honest with you, it was more than a little out of my comfort zone. I'm not a dancer, and I hope there wasn't any videos or pictures taken of me dancing. And even though it was way out of my comfort zone, there was something that was special about that moment. And they were so joyous. Many times I worship more reserved. And there was something that I could learn from that. And actually, one of our elders, Randall Roach, turned to Elijah, who leads worship here, and he said, maybe we should start doing that at Castle Hills, with a big smile on his face. And so there's something to be said about worshiping and looking at other cultures and seeing things that we can learn. One of the other things that I saw at that church there in Ghana and Tamale was that they had a baptistry, but it wasn't completed. And I began to ask, what's going on? Why is it not completed? You have this nice church building. And they said, you know, we have so many different needs, and people are always asking for us for different things that we just haven't been able to complete it. And so they said it's become a challenge because we normally have to go about 2 miles over to a swimming pool that's at the headquarters of Training Tomorrow's Leaders. Or we have to go out into a pond, and people aren't really excited about us doing baptisms where they may be drinking their water from. And they said, so it is a need for us. And so I saw that, and I began to realize that it's something that we take for granted. We do baptisms at Castle Hills all the time. We turn on the spigot of water. We don't think about it. There, water is a precious, precious resource. And even filling up a swimming pool, it takes sacrifice to do that. And so this baptism will be a much smaller space and won't waste as much, or they won't have to use as much water. And so after seeing that, God began to put it on my heart, and we began to talk to our team about it. But during Vacation Bible School, we normally support something or raise funds for something. And so one of the things that we're going to do this week is we're going to raise funds to try to complete that baptismal for them, for the church there in Ghana. And so something that we take for granted, we want to raise those funds. It's going to cost about $3,000 to complete that. And so if you happen to be interested in helping us out on that project, let me know, or just put on your giving a baptismal in Ghana or for Training Tomorrow's Leaders, and we'll get the funds to the right place. But that's just an opportunity. That's just something that we realize that I take for granted. But going over to Ghana, to a mission that's doing a great work, it helped me see things a little bit differently. That doesn't even count when people do get baptized. And that means many of them are coming from being a Muslim, and it's a huge sacrifice. And that means that everyone else is going to turn their back in that community. And so now they have this new community, the family of Christianity, the brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, but we get to be a part of that. When we talk about unity and diversity, let me be very clear. Unity does not mean sameness. The Bible never causes us to erase differences. It causes us to love across them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the church is described as a body. Starting at verse 12, it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. We all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Different parts, different functions, same life. Unity is not everyone doing the same thing. Unity is everyone belonging to the same Christ. You see, partnership is more than sharing space as well. When we talk about having this kingdom partnership with our brothers and sisters, with the Ethiopian church, this kingdom partnership is not simply coexisting on the same campus. It's a shared mission. Ephesians 2 says that Christ broke down the dividing wall of hostility, making one new humanity. In verse 14, it says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." See, partnership means sharing resources, not guarding them. We want to be generous with each other. We want to share stories, not stereotypes. We want to share burdens, not just buildings. We want to share joys and victories, not just schedules. See, the gospel doesn't just reconcile us to God. It reconciles us to one another. We want to spend time getting to know each other. And to do this, we have to have humility. We have to listen more than we speak. We must make room instead of making rules. And our focus must be about the kingdom more than anything else. And then we must remember that the witness the world is watching. In a divided world, the church has a rare opportunity. Jesus said in John chapter 17 that the unity would be evidence to the world that he was sent by the Father. In verse 21 of John chapter 17, it says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. When people see different races, languages, histories, cultures choosing unity, that is a glimpse of heaven on earth. When young and middle-aged and older people choose unity, that's a glimpse of heaven on earth. When people with different theologies and politics and lived experiences choose unity, that's a glimpse of heaven on earth. And one day in the future, we're going to be standing shoulder to shoulder with believers from every nation, lifting one song to one king, no translators, no barriers, no divisions. What we're doing now, sharing space, sharing life, sharing worship, is a practice. It's a preview of heaven.